Good morning.
早安。
Before I begin the message this morning, I would simply like to say on behalf of my wife and I, thank you.
在今天开始今天信息之前，我要在这里仅代表我的妻子还有我自己，要跟大家致谢。
I want to say thank you for your love and the many expressions that you have given us the last few weeks.
我要在这里表达致谢，是因为大家对我们的的好意在过去这几个礼拜里面，大家所表达的对我们的爱，我们非常的感激。
But we wanted to say it in a place where all of you could hear it.
我必须要在这样子的和堂聚会当中，所以每一位弟兄姊妹都可以听到。
As you know, the Lord is moving us on.
大家知道神带领我们往前去。
We don't know all of the details.
我们还不知道每一样细节。
But we know who we trust.
但是我们知道我们信的是谁。
We trust the same God together.
我们所相信的是我们同一位神。
So we just simply wanted to say.We thank God for you.
所以我们很简单的说，我们感谢神，为着各位，我们感谢神。
And we believe for good things He has in store for all of us.
我们相信神为我们预备的都是美好的。
Let's pray.
让我们一起祷告。
Father, we thank you for an opportunity to praise you and to worship you today.
天父，我们感谢你，我们可以聚集在一起，一同来敬拜你。
We thank you for your infinite love that is poured into our hearts.By your Holy Spirit.
我们感谢你那无比的爱，借着圣灵浇灌在我们每个人的心里。
We thank you for your mercy and for your grace.
我们感谢你，你对我们的怜悯，你对我们的恩典。
Because without the work that you did at the cross of Calvary, none of us could stand here.
如果不是你在加利利上的十字架所成就的救恩，我们没有一个人可以坐在你的面前。
So we are deeply indebted to you, Lord Jesus.
我们深深地亏欠着你。
For your faithfulness.
你是信实的。
That you have lived and walked on the face of this earth.
你曾经生活，你曾经行走在这个地上。
And continue in intercession from your throne.
你要继续在那宝座上面，你要干预世上的事，你要祝福这个世界。
Lord, lead us and guide us this day.
引导我们，引导我们往前行。
I want to say thank you, Lord.
我要对你说感谢你主。
For you have loved us.Infinitely.
因为你用那无比的爱爱了我们。
We commit this time to you in Jesus' name.
我们把下面的时间交在你的手中，靠耶稣的名祷告。
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If we could turn to Matthew chapter 9.
我们一同翻到马太福音第九章。
And we'd like to do a little bit of Bible study this morning.
今天早晨我们要做一些这个研读圣经。
As I've shared with you before,The Gospels are written in units.
我以前曾经分享过，福音是一个段落一个段落记载下来的。
And every unit has an opening statement and a closing statement.
每个段落都有一个开始的几句话跟结束的几句话。
And so as we study, particularly in the Gospels, we look for those units.
当我们在研读圣经，尤其是福音书的时候，我们特别要注意到每一个段落。
And everything within that unit defines the context.
而每一个段落呢，就决定它前后文的关系。
By doing so, it helps us to minimize taking a specific verse out of its context.
这样做的时候，你就避免只是从一节然后读出来，读出一节而已。
And making it say something that The author, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, never intended for it to say.
然后你只是就一节做出解释的时候，往往那个结果并不是真正圣经或者是圣灵所要讲述的。
But seeing the verses in its context also helps us to understand the meaning and what was it the author originally intended.
所以这个前后文的关系的经文就帮助我们来明白原始作者到底要讲的是什么。
Let's take verses 16 and 17 of Matthew chapter 9.
让我们先读马太福音第九章十六节和十七节。
No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved.
没有人把新布补在旧衣服上，因为所补上的反带坏了那衣服破的就更大了。也没有人把新酒装在旧皮袋里。若是这样，皮袋就裂开，酒漏出来，连皮袋也坏了。唯独把新酒装在新皮袋里，两样就都保全了。
We know that these are elements that represent something.
我们知道这是两个元素，代表着一些东西。
And part of the question is, what does the wine represent? What does the wineskin represent?
所以问题就是酒代表是什么，皮带代表是什么？
What does the cloth represent?
到底这个衣服代表的是什么？
What is the author, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, saying to us in these passages?
到底当初作者在圣灵感动之下所写的这个信息到底代表着什么？
I intentionally jumped into the middle, of the unit.
我是故意要直接带到这个段落当中的当中两节。
Where is the beginning and the ending of this unit?
到底这两节的最这个整个段落最开始在什么地方，结尾的地方在什么地方呢？
A unit almost always closes with a summary statement.
通常一个段落之前总是有一个结束的结束语在它前面。
Likewise, begins with an opening statement.
当然他在开始的时候会有一个开始的一句话。
In my observation, it's easier to find the closing statement than it is the opening statement.
比较容易，我们通常比较容易找到结束的那句话，比较不容易找到能开始的那句话。
I would like to just point out that the opening statement of this passage, or of this unit, is in verse 14.
我想要跟大家讲的就是说，这个段落的开始那一节是从14节开始的。
It says, then John's disciples came and asked him.
那边讲到说，那时约翰的门徒来见耶稣说，
But that's a little hard to really define. Are you sure that this is the opening?
光看这样的开始的这句话，很难决定它就是这个段落的开始。到底我们怎么确定这个是这个段落的开始呢？
What we want to do is back up one verse.
我们所做的就是我们往前看一节。
Because prior to an opening statement should be a closing statement.
因为一个卷首语之前会是另外一个段落的结语。
Let's back up one verse.
所以我们往前再看一节。
Verse 13 says, But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners.
经上说，我喜爱连续，不喜爱祭祀。这句话的意思，你们且去揣摩。我来本不是招义人，乃是招罪人。That
is a summary statement.
那是一个总结的一句话。Do
you hear the conclusion in that statement?
你听到的是一个总结的一句话。
Do you hear the impact of that statement?
你有听到这句话所带来的冲击吗？
I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners.
我来本不是招义人，乃是招罪人。
That is a closing statement.
那是一个结语，是一个结论。
It helps us to define that the next verse is going to be an opening statement.
因此我们可以了解下一节开始是另外一个段落的开始。
Helping us to see where the beginning and the ending of the unit is.
可以帮助我们明白一个段落的结束，接着是另外一个段落的开始。
The ending of this particular unit.
在这个今天所要阐述的这个段落的结尾。
Is verse 37.
是第37节。
Then he said to his disciples, The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.
37、38节，于是对门徒说，要收的庄稼多，做工的人少，所以你们当求庄稼的主打发工人出去收他的庄稼。
Once again, do you hear the summary in this?
再一次，你们各位有听到这个结语的结论的这个语气吗？
And do you hear the exhortation for action in the summary statement?
有听到在这个结论当中说鼓励人去做一些行动吗？
Now everything in between is one unit.
所以这个开始跟结尾中间就结构了一个段落。
The verses at the end of the unit are connected to the verses in the middle and the beginning of the unit.
所以这个结尾它会整个连贯，这个到这个段落的中间，一直到这个段落的开始。
Sometimes the chapters begin or end at the beginning or the ending of a unit.
有些时候一个章一章就刚好一开始就是一个段落的开始，结尾的那一节就是这个段落的结束。
But not always.
但是并不总是这样。
The chapter and verse numbers are not inspired.
因为分章跟分节，这个并不是受圣灵的感动的。
The scripture is inspired.
但是圣经却是神所默示的。
Let's look at verse 14.
让我们一起来看第十四节。
Then John's disciples came and asked him, How is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?
那是约翰的门徒来见耶稣说，我们和法利赛人常常进食，你的门徒倒不进食，这是为什么呢？
Wow, what an interesting question.
这真是一个很有趣的问题。
John the Baptist's disciples pose this question.
施洗约翰的门徒来问这样子问题。
John the Baptist is a forerunner.
施洗约翰是一个先驱者。
He's preparing the way of the Lord.
他是为主所预备道路的。
Doing that preparation by calling people to repentance.
他所做的预备道路就是呼召人们来悔改。
And part of the purpose of calling people, or part of the means of calling those people to repentance is through fasting.
呼召人来悔改，其中用的一个方式就是禁食。
So they actually have a legitimate ministry.
所以他是一个有一个非常非常合法的一个事工的。
But this legitimate ministry has been taken to a level that God never intended.
但是这个事工其实它到了一个地步呢，并不是神当初的意思。
This means of fasting has been taken to a level to define their spirituality.
借由禁食来做这个事工，最后发展到一个地步，变成你怎么样看一个人属不属灵的标准。
Hear the comparison.
你听，可以听到说这当中有一个比较。
We and the Pharisees fast.
我们和法利赛人禁食。
Your disciples do not fast.
你的门徒并不禁食。
If you listen to this carefully, I hear a spirituality that is revolving around themselves.
如果你仔细地听这句话的话，你会发现这当中有一个气氛萦绕在他们周围。
Based upon fasting.
那就是根据你到底有没有进食。
They have defined a particular level of spirituality.
也就是他们对于属灵的程度做出了定义。
And they're very good at it.
而且他们很对这个很在行。
They're very diligent with it.
他们很勤奋地做这件事情。
They have persevered.
他们非常坚忍地在做这件事情。
But in this question, they're communicating, we have a defined level of spirituality.
所以在他们在问这句话的同时，他们正在描述出他怎么样对于属灵做出定义。
Why is it that you don't meet our level of spirituality?
也就是说，为什么你没有来符合我们所定的属灵的标准呢？
Now, in one word, they defined spirituality.
也就是简单的说，就是他们定义何为属灵。
Fasting.
那就是禁食。
And in just a moment, we're going to read the next few verses, and I want you to see that with one word, Jesus changes the definition of spirituality.
我们等一下马上会看到，就是另外一个字，耶稣对于属灵做出的他的定义。
In verse 15, Jesus answered, How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, then they will fast.
耶稣对他们说，新郎和陪伴之人同在的时候，十五节，陪伴之人岂能哀痛呢？但日子将到，新郎要离开他们，那时候他们就要禁食。
Did you hear it?
你们听到了吗？
What's the word?
什么是那个字呢？
Bridegroom.
没错，就是新郎。
See, with one word, Jesus changes the image that they are to carry in their mind and their heart.
所以就是一个字，他就把整个他们心中的那个形象整个扭转过来了。
The disciples of John the Baptist have this one word image that says fasting.
所以施洗约翰的门徒他们心中有一个形象，那个形象的一个字就是禁食。
And there was an appropriate place for that.
那禁食其实有它应该要实行的时候。
But it was not the definition of the kingdom.
但那个绝对不是国度的一个定义。
That Jesus was communicating.
耶稣所要传讲的那个国度的定义，并不是禁食。
What is the image?
形象，那个意象是什么呢
？Bridegroom.
是新郎。
Think about the last wedding that you went to.
大家可以想想，你上一次去参加一个婚宴的时候是怎么样的情形
？You receive the invitation in the mail.
你先收到邀请卡。
And the expectation began to build.
然后你开始就非常期待这件事情。
And you begin to think about the wedding.
然后你开始想想这个婚礼。
How is it that God brought these two people together?
你会想到说神怎么样把这对新人可以两个人可以见面认识。
And they have such love for each other that they're willing to make a covenant with God and with each other for the rest of their lives.
他们相爱到一个程度，他们愿意在神面前立约，他们愿意把他这一生余生两个人要一起来度过。
And it's a relationship that is going to be a love relationship.
这种关系是一个爱的关系。
And there's going to be joy at that wedding.
在那个婚宴当中将是喜乐的。
There's going to be celebration.
实际上是欢庆的。
Maybe even some dancing.
甚至于可能会来一段跳舞。
This is very fresh in our minds.
这是非常的新鲜的我们的脑海里面。
Our oldest daughter was married 2 weeks ago.
我的大女儿两个礼拜前刚结婚。
And the photographer took a picture.
那个摄影师呢，他拍了一张照片
，a picture of their first dance as husband and wife，
就是他们第一支舞曲，他们新郎新娘的第一支舞曲。
And the photographer captured a particular angle that you can see our daughter's eyes。
那个摄影师他拍那张照片呢，可以看到我女儿的那个眼神。
And you can tell from the photo that her eyes are fixed on his eyes.
你可以从那张照片当中看出来，我女儿的那双眼睛盯着新郎的眼睛。
And without saying a word, love is communicated.
你不要说任何的话，你知道爱正在那边传达。
That's the image that Jesus is trying to communicate regarding the kingdom.
这个意象正是主耶稣所要传达的和他所传讲的国度的一个意象
A long-term relationship
一个长久的关系
Made with covenant
是在一个约的关系里头
Based on love
是根据着爱
Where you can be the apple of his eye
你愿意成为他眼中的瞳仁吗
Does that make sense?
是不是这样
When you think about church,
当我们来想教会
what comes to your mind?
你脑海当中浮现的是什么呢
Fasting?
是禁食吗
Or wedding banquet?
还是一场婚宴
Should be wedding banquet.
应该是婚宴
The joy and the celebration.
是喜乐，是欢庆的。
Of a bride in love with a bridegroom.
新娘跟新郎彼此相爱。
You see, with one word, the disciples of John the Baptist communicated what was the image in their mind and their heart.
就是同样是只用一个字，但是施洗约翰他们就用这个字来表达他们心中对一件事情的意象是什么。
But with one word, Jesus changed.The image that they were to carry in their mind and their heart regarding the kingdom.
同样是只有一个字，耶稣却扭转了他整个他国度应该所代表的形象是怎么样的形象。
That's how this unit begins.
这整个段落是这样子开始的。
And then it begins to unfold what else he wants to communicate about the kingdom. in this unit.
所以接下来耶稣就在这个段落当中要描述他所传讲的国度是怎么一回事。
It says, no one, in verse 16, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the new tear worse.
16节，没有人把新布补在旧衣服上，因为所补上的反带坏了那衣服，破的就更大了。
It's true. John the Baptist is preparing the way for the king of the new kingdom.
没有错，施洗约翰是预备主的道路，要带下一个新的国度。
But Jesus is making it clear he's not going to take a little bit of new cloth and put it on the old.
但是耶稣在这边非常清楚地讲到，他并不是只是拿一个补丁，然后补在一个旧衣服上面。
He's going to give a brand new concept.
他所带来的是一个全新的一个概念。
Verse 17, neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved.
17节，也没有人把新酒装在旧皮袋里。若是这样，皮袋就裂开，酒漏出来，连皮袋也坏了。唯独把新酒装在新皮袋里。两样就都保全了。
He's not going to take something new and pour it into the old.
他并不是把一些新的东西，然后呢，注入在旧的容器当中。
Old Testament stays with Old Testament.
旧约的事情停在旧约。
But New Covenant is going to stay with New Covenant.
但是新约就是带进新的一个事情。
This concept is not unique just to Matthew.
这个概念并不是只有马太福音才描述出来的。
We also see it in the Gospel of John.
我们同样的在约翰福音当中可以看到。
Remember the wedding at Cana?
大家还记得迦拿的婚宴吗？迦南婚宴吗
？John chapter 2.
在约翰福音第二章那里。
What happened?
发生了什么事呢
？They ran out of wine.
酒用光了。
Mary called Jesus.
玛利亚叫耶稣。
What did she say?
玛利亚怎么说呢
？They have no more wine.
他们酒用完了。
Verse 4, dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come.
耶稣说第四节，耶稣说，母亲原文做妇人，我与你有什么相干？我的时候还没有到。
You see, the father was surprising the son with his first miracle.
你看到了吗？这个天父，他借着他的儿子耶稣来行第一个神迹。
His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you."
母亲对佣人说：“他告诉你们什么，你们就做什么。”
That's very good advice.
这是非常好的建议。
Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim.
照犹太人洁净的规矩，有六口石缸摆在那里，每一口可以盛两到三桶水。耶稣对佣人说，把缸倒满了水，他们就倒满了，直到缸口。
Verse 8, then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet.
第八节，耶稣又说：“现在可以舀出来送给管筵席的。”他们就送了去。
You know the rest of the story.
大家知道接下来发生的什么事
？What was the comment?
最后是怎么样说的呢
？Oh, you saved the best until now.
你居然把最好的留到现在才送出来。
The water had been turned into wine.
水变成了酒。
It speaks of the abundance of the new wine of the kingdom of God.
这边讲到的是说，在国度的当中，新酒所带来的那个丰盛。
It speaks of celebration.
它所带出来的是一个欢庆的一个气氛。
It speaks of a bridegroom in love with his bride.
这边讲到的是说，新郎对着新娘充满了爱。
It speaks of joy.
是讲到的是喜乐。
It speaks of the abundance of the new wine of the kingdom of God.
讲到就是这个神的国度新酒所代表的欢乐的这个气氛。
And Jesus takes new wine and puts it into new wineskins.
耶稣把这个新酒要倒在新的皮带当中。
We need to ask the question, what is the new wine?
我们就必须要问一个问题，那就是什么是新酒呢？
And what are the new wineskins?
那什么是新皮带呢？
In verse 18, while he was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live. Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples.
十八节十九节耶稣说这话的时候有一个管会堂的来拜他说我女儿刚才死了求你去按手在她身上她就必活了十九节耶稣便起来跟着他去门徒也跟了去
Now this story gets interrupted by another story
这个故事呢就被另外一个故事所打岔了
Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak She said to herself If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed.
二十节、二十一节，有一个女人患了十二年的血漏，来到耶稣背后摸了他的衣裳坠子，因为他心里说：“我只摸他的衣裳就必痊愈。”
Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed from that moment.
耶稣转过来看见她，就说：“女儿，放心，你的信救了你。”从那时候，女人就痊愈了。
Then the story continues on.
然后故事接着说。
When Jesus entered the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd, he said, Go away, the girl is not dead, but asleep.
耶稣到了管会堂的家里，看见有吹手，又有许多人乱嚷，就说，退去吧，这闺女不是死了，是睡着了。
But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. The news of this spread throughout all that region.
他们就嗤笑他，众人既被撵出，耶稣就进去拉着闺女的手，闺女便起来了。
What is the new wine?
什么是新酒呢？
He explains it.
他做出了解释。
The new wine is resurrection life.
新酒指的就是一个复活的生命。
The new wine is healing.
新酒是带来着医治
But it comes at a price.
但是需要付代价的
And not everyone is willing to pay that price.
但并不是每一个人都愿意付出这样的代价
The price is faith and desperation.
这个代价是什么呢？是信心和绝望
The ruler whose daughter had died was desperate.
那个管会堂的女儿死了，她是深陷在绝望当中。
The woman who had been bleeding for 12 years was desperate.
那个女人患了十二年的血漏，是在一个绝望当中。
If I only touch his cloak,
我只要去摸摸她的衣裳坠子
I will be healed.
我就会得医治。
Do you see the initiative on her part?
你有看到她所先做的一件事情吗？
Do you see the initiative on the part of the ruler?
你有看到那个管会堂的他所先有的那个意念吗？
Because they were desperate, they took initiative.
因为他们深陷绝望当中，他们必须要先做出行动。
You see, miracles happen at the crossroads of faith and desperation.
你看到了吗？神迹是发生在一个信心跟绝望这两条路交叉的点。
They don't just happen all by itself.
并不是就无缘故就发生了。
When Jesus entered the ruler's house and saw the flute players, verse 23, and the noisy crowd, he said, Go away, the girl is not dead but asleep.
二十三节，耶稣到了管会堂的家里，看见有吹手，又有许多人乱嚷，就说，退去吧，这闺女不是死了，是睡着了。
What was their response?
其他人的反应是什么呢？
They laughed at him.
他们就嗤笑他。
Why?
为什么呢？
See, it's not in their world view.
这个，因为这件事情，这跟他们的世界观是整个是相左的。
For resurrection to happen.
复活这件事情是不可能发生的。
They didn't realize that the resurrection and the life was among them.
他们不了解一个复活的生命正在他们当中。
So they laughed.
所以他们就嗤笑他。
What does he do?
耶稣怎么做呢？
He takes the unbelief and puts them out of the room.
耶稣把那些不相信的人斥责离开了那个房间。
I have this picture that While they were walking out of the room, they were still laughing.
我有一个图像在我的脑海当中，就是当这些人离开这个房间的时候，他们仍然在嗤笑着耶稣。
Did you hear what Jesus said?
你们听听耶稣说的是什么？
She's asleep.
他说他在睡觉，睡觉当中。
She's not asleep. She's dead.
并不是在睡觉，他已经死了。
We saw it with our own eyes.
我们亲眼看见的，他死了。
The guy is crazy.
这个人实在是疯了。
Until,
一直到
took her by the hand.
耶稣拉起她的手
and raised her from the dead.
把这个闺女从死中让她回转过来复活了。
Now who's laughing?
现在谁要被嗤笑呢？
No one.
没有人。
In verse 27, as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, Have mercy on us, son of David. When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, According to your faith will it be done to you. And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, See that no one knows about this. But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region.
27节到31节，耶稣从那里往前走，有两个瞎子跟着他，喊叫说：“大卫的子孙，可怜我们吧！”耶稣进了房子，瞎子就来到他跟前。耶稣说：“你们信我能做这事吗？”他们说：“主啊，我们信。”耶稣就摸他们的眼睛，说：“照着你们的信，给你们成全了吧。”他们的眼睛就开了。耶稣切切地嘱咐他们说：“你们要小心，不可叫人知道他们出去，竟把他的名声传遍了那地方。”
You see, Jesus asked the question, Do you believe that I am able to do this?
看到吗？耶稣在问说，你们相信我能做这事吗？
Now, we usually think of Jesus walking the face of the earth.
我们通常想说，主耶稣他行走在地上。
And that's true.
没有错，是真的。
But who is Matthew writing to?
马太到底在写这卷福音书的时候，他的对象是谁呢？
And when did he write it?
他什么时候写这卷书呢？
See, part of the purpose of you and I reading through the Gospels is for us to find ourselves in the Gospel.
大家知道吗？我们在读福音书的时候，我们必须要记得，我们必须要在福音书当中找到我们自己。
So when Jesus asked the men, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?"
所以当这个当耶稣在问说，你相信我能做这事吗的时候。
Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is asking the reader or the listener the exact same question.
当马太受圣灵默示在写下这段经文的时候，他所问的问题正是问所读这段圣经的人同样的问题。
And so when we read this question, we need to ask ourselves, do I believe that Jesus is able to do this?
所以当我们在读到这个问题的时候，我们必须要问我们自己，我是不是相信耶稣能做这事？
Do you believe?
你相信吗？
That he's able to do that?
他能做这事。
It's the new wine of the kingdom.
他是新的国度当中的新酒。
See, will you and I be like John the Baptist's disciples?
你和我是像施洗约翰的门徒呢？
And focus on fasting.
专注在禁食这件事情上面。
Or will we be as Jesus giving us the new image, focused on the bridegroom?
还是我们就像是领受到耶稣所给我们的新的形象，我们专注在新郎身上。
And the concept of wedding banquet.
以及整个婚宴的这样的意象。
It's a question that we can only answer for ourselves.
这个问题是我只有我们自己可以来回答我们自己的。
In verses 32 and 34,
32节到34节
says, While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons.
他们出去的时候，有人将鬼所附的一个哑巴带到耶稣跟前来，鬼被赶出去，哑巴就说出话来，众人都稀奇说，在以色列中从来没有见过这样的事。法利赛人却说，他是靠着鬼王赶鬼。
You see, he's preaching the good news of the kingdom.
你看到吗？耶稣所传讲的是新国度的一个好消息。
He's demonstrating the kingdom.
他把整个国度展现在众人面前。
This is the new wine of the kingdom.
这个是新的国度的新酒。
As we get into verse 35, it says Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness.
35节，耶稣走遍各城各乡，在会堂里教训人，宣讲天国的福音，又医治各样的病症。
This is what I call the hands and the feet of the kingdom.
这里是我所提到的天国所需要的手跟脚。
One is preaching the good news.
一方面我们是传讲天国的福音。
That's the feet of the kingdom.
那个是在天国里面所需要的脚。
Healing every disease and sickness. That's the hands of the kingdom.
医治各样的疾病，那个是天国里的手所要做的事情。
They both go together.
他们是必须要一起出现的。
Some parts of the body of Christ like to emphasize the hands.
主的身体有一些人他会专注在手的功用上面。
Some parts of the body of Christ like to emphasize the feet.
有些肢体他专注的是在脚的功能上面。
But God designed the body for them to work together.
但是神他所设立的这个身体让每个肢体都可以彼此
When I tied the laces on my shoes this morning, my hands and my feet were working together.
当我今天早晨在绑鞋带的时候，我的手跟脚要彼此合作。
In the past several months, there was a young man who has gotten involved in a church as he came to Christ.
在过去这几个月当中，有一个年轻人，他来到教会当中。他来到耶稣的面前。
When he gave his life to Christ, he knew he was in trouble.
当他接受主耶稣成为他个人救主的时候，他知道他有麻烦了。
He knew his family was not going to accept.
他知道他的家庭，他家人不会接受这件事情。
You see, he comes from a Muslim family.
他是从一个回教徒的家庭当中长大的。
It was only him and his grandmother that were Christians.
只有他和他的祖母是基督徒。
But he was sharing the gospel with his family.
但是他对他的家人分享福音。
And he was able to bring them to a church service.
他居然可以把他们的家人都带到教会来参加敬拜。
God did a miracle for that family in the church service.
神在那样在那个教会的那个聚会当中做了奇妙的事，行了神迹。
The father, the mother, the other grandparents, all simultaneously on that night gave their lives to Christ.
这个年轻人的父亲、他的母亲，还有其另外的祖父祖母，在那个晚上把自己的生命交在耶稣的手中。
I know the young man. I've talked to him.
我知道这个年轻人，我认识这个年轻人，我曾经跟他谈话。
I wasn't there the night that his family came.
那个晚上他的家人来到那个教会的时候，我并不在现场。
But the entire family came to a place of renouncing Islam and receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
整个家庭原先是信奉回教的，他就弃绝了回教，他宣称耶稣基督是他们的主。
That's huge.
这是很大的一件事情。
You see, some people respond to the preaching of the gospel.
有些人当福音传来的时候，他有一些反应。
Others don't respond until they see a demonstration of the gospel.
很多时候人之所以会有回应，他必须要看到福音有一些果效。
And we realize that some don't respond at all.
我们知道有些人是从来对于福音都不会有任何的回应的。
But the hands and the feet need to work together.
但是手和主必须要彼此合作。
So what is the new wine of the kingdom?
所以在国度的新酒是什么呢？
It's resurrection life.
是复活的新的生命。
It's healing.
是医治。
It's having a larger worldview.
有一个更远大广大的一个世界观。
It's believing in faith that Jesus is still doing what he did when he walked the face of the earth.
是相信我们到今天仍然有一些神迹是当初主耶稣在地上行走的时候所行的神迹。
He tells us what the new wine is.
耶稣告诉我们新酒是什么。
Now, you might be thinking of some abuses that you have seen in the past.
大家可能会想到说过去有发生的一些事情。
I just want to say that I am not, have no desire to be involved in any abuse of spiritual gifts whatsoever.
就是有一些属灵恩赐的误用，我在这边并没有任何的意思，想要对这上面有过多的琢磨。
Some in the church have gotten themselves in trouble because they tried to manufacture a miracle.
有些教会他后来产生了许多的问题，因为他想要用人工制造出一些神迹。
We are not God.
我们并不是神。
We need to find out what God is doing and then do it.
我们必须要知道神在做什么事情，然后跟着神来做事。
The last few verses of this unit.
最后的一处
Verse 36 When he saw the crowds he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples The harvest is plentiful but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of harvest therefore to send out workers into his harvest field.
36节到38节他看见许多的人就怜悯他们因为他们困苦流离如同羊没有牧人一般，于是对门徒说：“要收的庄稼多，做工的人少，所以你们当求庄稼的主打发工人出去收他的庄稼。”
Is this a few verses that stand all by itself?
这短短的几节是单独存在的吗
？No，
并不是。
These are verses that are within a unit.
这几节圣经是连在前面整个段落当中的。
And the reality is that the worker is connected to the new wine of the kingdom.
所以这边就讲到工人是跟国度是连在一起的。
How is the worker connected to the new wine?
到底工人跟新酒的关系是什么呢？
The worker embraces the image of the bridegroom.
工人必须要能够接受新郎的这样子的一个意象。
The worker embraces the image that this is about the expansion of the kingdom.
所以工人必须要明白这是有关于国度扩展的意象。
And when the kingdom expands, it needs to be in a structure that will expand with it.
所以国度在往前扩展的时候里面会有一个结构是跟着这个国度往前行的。
You can't put new wine into an old wineskin.
也就是说你不能够把新酒放在一个旧皮带当中。
There needs to be the faith and the trust to expand with the kingdom.
所以当国度在拓展的时候我们需要有信心跟着国度的扩展。
So the worker needs to embrace the image of the bridegroom.
所以工人他首先他心中需要有新郎的这样的形象。
And the love and the joy that goes with that.
而这个形象带来的是喜乐还有欢庆。
Workers who won't put a new patch on an old garment.
工人不可以只是在旧衣服上面补一个新的补丁。
Workers who embrace resurrection life.
工人他需要知道有一个复活的新生命。
Workers that embrace the fact that Jesus is still healing today.
所以工人必须要非常明白接受说主耶稣在今天仍然做医治的工作。
Workers who have the faith to believe that Jesus is able to do this.
工人他心中有信心知道耶稣能够成就这事。
Workers who embrace the hands and the feet of the kingdom together.
所以工人他知道手跟足必须要一同在国度当中彼此扶持。
But the workers are few.
但是工人却很少。
Why?
为什么呢
？Because we like to patch the old thing.
因为我们比较喜欢在旧的衣服上面钉上新的补丁。
That's not what Jesus did.
耶稣并不是做这样的事情。
He didn't put a new patch on the old cloth.
他并不是在旧衣服上面只是补一个新的补丁。
He puts new wine in a new wineskin.
他把新的酒倒入新的皮囊当中皮带当中
That's the kind of worker I want to be
我 我希望能够像主耶稣所要的那个工人一样。
I want to put new wine in a new wineskin.
我要把新酒要倒入新的皮带当中。
Over my years, through the years that I have been here, I feel that there's a few things that I have observed.
在过往的这一段年日当中，我在这里服侍。
And I'd like to share with you four things that help to facilitate the expansion of the kingdom.
那么在这段时间，在我们教会服侍当中，我有几样观察，然后我就提出有几点，当我们在有关于有份于国度的拓展的时候。
Number one is to emphasize fruit, de-emphasize numbers.
第一个观察做出来的结论就是我们需要专注在结果果实，而不是在人数的增加。
When Jesus came to the fig tree, it was about fruit.
当耶稣来到那个无花果树的面前的时候，是有关于有没有结果实。
Sometimes, whether a little church or a large church, because we have numbers of people, we assume that we're being fruitful.
不管是小教会或是大教会，有些时候我们觉得人数看起来好像蛮多的，就觉得我们是结实累累有果实的教会。
That might be true, that might not be true.
有可能是真的，但是也有可能并不是如此。
Only Jesus can judge that.
只有主耶稣基督他本身可以做出评断。
Emphasize fruit, de-emphasize numbers.
但是我们需要专注在有没有结果时，而不是专注在人数的多少。
Secondly, make the soil or the environment just as important as the seed.
第二个就是种子非常的重要，但是土壤同样的重要，也就是这个整个环境也是一样的重要。
We've heard of 30, 60, 100 fold.
我们看到有三结实三百倍的六十倍的一百倍的。
Why is there a difference in fruitfulness?
为什么结实的程度不太一样呢？
You can take the same seed and plant it in two different kinds of soil and get two different yields.
你可以把两种种子放在不同的土壤当中，但是它出来的结果是不一样的。
One of our career people,live and work in the Midwest.
有一位我们聚会的弟兄姊妹，他住在中西部。
Lives in Peoria, Illinois.
在伊利诺州的一个城镇里头。
It's been described as a city in the middle of a cornfield.
他讲到那个城市呢，是一个玉米田当中一个地方。
And several months ago.He sent me a copy of his pastor's book.
一段时间之前，他把他们教会牧师的一本书寄给了我。
The title of the book is Dirt Matters.
这个书的书名叫做《土壤有关系的》。
I looked at the title of the book and I started to laugh.
我看看这本书的标题，我就开始笑了。
I said, "What kind of title is this?"
这个是什么样的题目，能够当做一本书名
？This is I almost didn't read the book.
我差一点就没有读的这本书没有读。
But as I began to read the book, I began to understand what he was saying.
可是当我开始读这本书的时候，我开始明白他所说的是什么。
See, in the Midwest where they grow lots of corn,
在中西部他们种了很多的玉米。
The soil and its content is very important.
这个土壤是非常重要的。
The soil is rated by different classes.
土壤它有区分等级的。
Of course, the class A soil is going to give you the best yield from an amount of corn.
也就是说，如果是它等级是 A 等级的土壤，它的产量是最好的。
The other classes are not going to give you as much yield for the same amount of corn.
而另外的一些等级，它同样的一个栽种面积，并不能够产生同样量的玉米。
You can take the same amount of seed, plant it in two different classes of soil, and get two different yields.
你可以把同样的种子种在两个不同的土壤当中，但是出来的产量是不同的。
The question is asked: Can you transition bad soil to good soil.
问题我们主要问的就是说，你可不可以把一个坏的土壤，把它变成一个好的土壤呢？
What do you think?
大家觉得怎么样？
Is it possible?
可能吗？
It takes three things. It takes good content.
需要有三件事情，一个就是内容、内涵。
You're putting good things into the soil.
你要把好的成分要加在土壤当中。
You put intentionality into it.
你要有一个目的在这个土壤当中。
In other words, it takes time and effort to nurture the soil.
也就是说，你需要花时间、花精力来改造这个土壤。
And thirdly, it takes time.
第三个就是时间。
I think it was the best book I've read this year.
我想今年我所读的最好的书就是那本书了。
I've always been focused on the seed.
我总是专注在种子如何。
Plant the seed, pull the weeds, and believe God for the increase.
我们种种子种下去了，把杂草除掉了，我们就相信神会让这个树可以成长。
But it helps us to understand that not only do we need to plant the seed, we also need to nurture the soil.
我们不单单要把种子种植进去，而且我们需要好好的看顾这个土壤。
If you'd like to read the book, it's by a pastor by the name of Jim Powell.
如果你们想要读这本书的话，这个牧师的名字叫做 Jim Powell.
The soil is just as important as the seed when it comes to fruitfulness.
当我们要讲到结实累累收成的时候，土壤跟种子是一样重要的。
Thirdly is leadership by the Spirit instead of the intellect.
第三个讲到在我们带领着教会往前行的时候，并不是靠着我们的头脑来带领，而是靠着圣灵。
I've shared messages about this with you before that come out of Acts 27.
我以前曾经跟大家分享这段经文是从使徒行传27章所带出来的信息。
Paul's on a ship, he's in chains, he's headed for Rome.
保罗他在船当中被送到罗马去，手中是被受着捆锁的。
He says, by the inspiration of the Spirit, I can see we're headed for trouble.
他因着圣灵的引导他，他知道说他这个船正即将要遭遇船难。
But the owner of the ship, the captain and the pilot make a decision to set sail.
但是不管是船主，不管是船东，不管是这个谁开船的船长，他们仍然是决定要开船。
What does the Apostle Paul know? He's a prisoner.
保罗能够知道什么东西呢？他只不过是一个罪犯。
He's a tent maker, not a sailor.
他是支帐篷的，他又不是一个水手。
What does he know?
他懂什么？
But he wasn't speaking out of here.
但是保罗并不是从他的脑子上面讲出这些事情的。
He was speaking by the Spirit.
他是借着圣灵的引导。说出这样的预言的。
And they found themselves blown by the nor'easter over 200 miles out into the sea.
所以他们就从起行，当时开始起行，然后就到了200海里以外的大海当中。
Fascinating chapter on leadership.
那章讲到的对于领袖的教导是非常重大的，非常有重大意义的一章，一个经文。
And fourthly,
第四点，
the theologies of the Bible are like the keys on a piano.
圣经的神学就像是我们钢琴上面的那些琴键。
Let me say that again.
让我再说一次。
The theologies of the Bible are like the keys on a piano.
圣经当中很多属神的这些道理，这些神的意思就像是一部钢琴当中的许多的琴键。
The cross is middle C.
中央 C 这个音在圣经当中就是十字架。
It's central to all the other keys.
十字架就像是中央 C 是一部钢琴的最中心的位置一样。
But it was intended to be played with the other keys.
但是它 中央 C 必须要跟其他的琴键一起来弹奏。
Sometime I would like to take one of our hymns and just find out how many times middle C is played through that hymn.
很多时候我喜欢把一首诗拿起来，诗歌拿起来，然后想找找看到底中央 C 这个音出现了多少次。
But it's played in chords.
但是通常它都是用和弦的方式展现出来的。
It's not the only theology.
不是唯一的神学。
It's the most important one.
是最重要的神学，没有错。
It's middle C.
没有错，它是就像是钢琴琴键当中的中央 C.
But God designed it to be played in conjunction with the other theologies in the Bible.
但是同样，神他有在圣经当中有其他的神学是跟这个十字架神学是一同要被演奏出来的。
So that what we hear is a full, hymn.And not just a single note.
所以我们所听到的是一首完整的诗歌，而不是单音。
Emphasize fruit.
要着重在结果时。
Pay attention to the soil as well as the seed.
要注意土壤的好坏，同时跟种子一样的重要。
Leadership by the Spirit.
要借着圣灵来引导整个教会。
And use all of the keys on the piano.
然后钢琴的每一个键我们都要使用得到。
All of those, I believe, affect the fruitfulness that will come out in the days ahead.
前面这几所提的这几样，我相信对于将来整个教会的复兴有非常重要的要点在里头。
Lord, we thank you for your concepts.
主啊，我们感谢你，感谢你给我们的这些看见。
Lord, we thank you that you are looking for workers.
主啊，我们感谢你，感谢你正在寻找工人。
Who will embrace the joy of the kingdom.
这些工人他可以欢报这个国度的喜乐。
And celebrate in wedding banquet fashion.
而且是有这个婚宴的欢庆当中来服侍你。
That we rejoice over those who are touched by your healing.
当有人因着你的触摸得到医治的时候，我们非常的喜乐。
We rejoice over those who are touched when they are set free from the confines or the demands of the enemy.
我们当有些人被仇在从仇敌手中被你拯救过来，被释放出来的时候，我们是何等的喜乐。
We rejoice when we see resurrection life at work.
我们对于我们能够得到这个复活的生命，我们是何等的喜乐。
And the fact that you used a sinful person like us in the process.
你居然能够使用像我们这样的罪人，在你的国度当中有份。
Is a demonstration of your grace.
这个就展现出你的恩典。
That you would give us the privilege of being a worker in your kingdom.
你居然给我们这样的特权，在你的国度当中成为你的工人。
Lord, we thank you for your love and for your favor.
主啊，我们感谢你，感谢你的爱，感谢你对我们的钟爱。
We trust that we will see the kingdom expand in the days ahead.
我们相信国度在即将要被扩展。
More rapidly as we approach your second coming.
在你主要来的日子临近的时候，国度扩展会越来的越快。
Use us, Lord Jesus.
使用我们主啊。
For your plans and your purposes.
为着你的旨意，为着你的目的，使用我们。
We thank you in Jesus' name.
感谢主，靠耶稣基督的名。阿门。